Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back to John and Lance with no John, thankfully, for all of you. He's in a war-torn country, possibly. But time to give something away. Don't call in right now, though. Join us for the 111th celebration of Mardi Gras Galveston, the third biggest Mardi Gras in the country. Two full weekends of family-friendly fun will consist of 22 parades, 15 balcony parties, 22 live concerts, vendors, and over 3 million beads. Enjoy live performances from Three Doors Down, Signal, Matt Stell, and others, plus a special Fiesta Grand Marshal appearance by our special Mardi Gras Grand Marshal appearance by Texan defensive lineman Roy Lopez. Find the full schedule and more info at MardiGrasGalveston.com. General mission tickets start at $16. Buy your tickets online or the day of the festival. That's MardiGrasGalveston.com. We're going to go with caller 7 right now. Caller 7 wins. What do they win, Lance? Tickets?
Yeah, they win tickets. That's what they win. So I got a buddy of mine who's listening. He said, I'm not a Harden guy, but three-time scoring champ is better than number 50. That's my feeling, too. Now, I don't have the list in front of me, so I'm really working off of a very general sense, but I feel like Harden should probably be inside your top 35. If he's one of the – I don't think it's a stretch. You could say Harden's one of the five best offensive players to ever play basketball, and I do not think that's a stretch.
I don't think it's wrong. I just think his
assist, threes, the ability to score in a variety of ways.
I'm just trying to figure out if there's a comp anywhere for a guy who has been successful as he is doing what he's best at, not getting that type of respect, like openly being clowned.
Kirk Cousins.
No, not Kirk Cousins. Oh. Openly being clowned by national media members. Like, you know, a lot of times it's about promoting the game, protecting the game, and selling the game to people.
Well, it's nothing like that. It has to be in football. It's not going to – it's going to have to be a football guy because it won't be a baseball guy.
No.
Is there a football guy? So if you have somebody who's better than
– like an MVP, a scoring champion, whatever the equivalent of that is in football.
Oh, yeah, he does have an
– who gets clowned like that? Like, openly. Not about his off-the-court stuff, but generally being made fun of by, like, would Adam Schefter go on and talk about...
No, but he's an insider. That's different.
Okay.
You're saying would...
Ryan Clark... Ryan Clark might. Would Ryan he do that Clark to an NFL
would,
player?
Ryan Clark would clown a lot of people, yeah.
Like, would...
He didn't used to, but I have noticed Ryan's getting a little more sideways with people.
Yeah, but would he do that to... What's James Harden's equivalent in the NFL?
I don't think they're... Who's someone like that gets a lot of stats but doesn't win? I mean, frankly, Kirk Cousins is that guy, but
he's not
a big personality,
player, yeah.
So, and he's not considered one of the most impactful guys in the league or in MVP category.
Like 3 years,
I don't know.
Like 3 years from now, if Josh Allen hasn't won anything, would someone go on the air and just openly talk about be clownish on Josh Allen despite his numbers? Like quarterbacks are held in high regard, very reverent. Talks about them. If Josh Allen was just a really good player, no really off the field
there
stuff.
There is no comp.
There is no comp.
There is no comp. I can't think of because somebody who is as good at Harden is at his job, but who fails in the postseason, we do see that.
Peyton Manning was like that for a little bit. Did people clown Peyton Manning the way they would clown James Harden? Like established. I mean, the NBA
not clown, but did they not? Respect as much? Did he not hit that level of respect? No, he always had the level of respect.
Yeah, people would
he just elevated once he hit the ring.
I mean, it all started with Florida never beating them at Tennessee. So it kind of followed him, and then the Patriot thing happened until he eventually won. So people would reference maybe Peyton Manning can't win the big game, but they wouldn't make fun of him at the Pro Bowl. The Charles Kenny Shaq dynamics is very different. There's nothing like it in the NFL where guys talk like they do about the sport. But there's no one who, I don't know, some of it's deserved with James, but there's no one who takes that type of slander.
You think it's okay? So guys who have played in the league or inside the league know that I don't think it's a dirty little secret. James is not boys with a lot of guys in the league that I know of. I don't see him partying, hanging out. His little baby is his, you know, best friend, basically. They buy each other honey buns and bags and give each other cash. So that's a weird dynamic, but okay, that's his dynamic.
Honey buns. It's true. It's just true.
It is a weird dynamic. I can't wrap my head around it.
Do you think it's reciprocal, or did it just happen because it was the dude's birthday, so he got honey buns? Do you think it's a back and forth thing where they send each other honey buns?
I think it was a one-time
honey bun thing.
Do they re-gift honey buns?
I don't think they celebrate special days between each other with honey bun gifts. I think that happened once.
That says you. Let's get Biscuit in here. What's up, Biscuit? Biscuit, how we doing?
Hey, man. Top of the morning to you.
Same
to Before you. I get to my take on the 75, man, the deal with Harden. The reason, and I've asked some of my buddies around the country, well, the deal with Harden is the reason why people kind of look at him is because it seems like he's challenging the rules. You know what I mean? It seems like some of Harden's moves are like pushing the rules. Okay, it's the gather, and, you know, so it gets into technicalities and stuff. So people kind of, a lot of the older guys have a problem with Harden because they think he's traveling all the time. And they're saying, well, yeah, anybody can score a whole bunch of points if he gets shooting 20 free throws a game and he's traveling. So that's the pushback on Harden, I think. It's the way his style of play. The people don't respect his style of play. Me, personally, I think, if the dude is productive, you got to give him his just due. And I think Harden, especially that year, what did he score, like 30-some points and 50 points? Triple doubles, he should have won the MVP. I don't think Giannis should have won. I think Harden should have won. But it's the style of play where they have an issue with. But, Lance, this is why I called, and I'm getting on my soapbox. And you guys, Dale, you can argue with me. There's no way in HELL, you know I'm a Christian guy, that Dr. J should not be in the top 10. And I don't give a
Dr. J is a top 10.
How many times?
Dr. J is a top 10 talent, or Dr. J as a top 10 icon of the league? Do you separate those two?
Top 10 player of all time.
Okay.
And I got a park rule. If I'm at the park and I got next up, and it may be another hour if we lose, am I taking Tim Duncan or I'm taking Dr. J? You can have Tim Duncan. Give me the doctor. The man was the best player on the planet, recognized for almost a decade. From like 70 to 80, he was the best player. And I know you guys didn't watch ABA like I did because I'm from Indiana. But this man, there's no way that some of these guys, they got here to Dr. J, should be there, man. This dude, he took some scrubs to the finals. Tim Duncan played with the 4 Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. The disrespect for Dr. J has got to stop, man. This dude is a top 10 player all the time. And if you ask the players, they would tell you. You ask them, all of them, who you watch when you're growing up? Dr. J.
You know,
all of them will tell you that.
You know, it's funny. Thanks for the call, Biscuit. What's funny is in the generation now when I say the generation, I mean it means all of us. So how do we filter between generations? It's going to ultimately end up with statistics. They'll see – you know, what Doc is famous for is the dunks. People now, they're like, who cares about dunks? We all see dunks. Guys in the park can do these crazy dunks. So there's less of a, I think there's less nuance and context to what Dr. J did at the time. His defense, his ability to block shots, his length, his rebounding. And so then when you take it through the lens of statistics, that's where it falls short for people who lack context. And that's why there are going to be certain players who fall through the cracks because they're not going to pop as much with some of the context that needs to be had relative to basketball and not just analytics and data. Let's break it right here. So John and I had a really fun segment where we found out a guy named Huey Jennings that we found out and in real time started to discussing. Huey Jennings. A lot of you have asked for us to bring that back, and we'll let you hear this when we come back. It's 9:14. I want to tell you about SiteJab. If you're looking to build a website, you could try to do it yourself. You could do it through WordPress. Your cousin can do it, your brother-in-law, somebody from your company, and you're going to save some money short-term, but really you end up costing yourself a lot of money long-term, and let me explain that. If your business is represented by your website, if that's your interactive billboard, and it's not done well, and it doesn't have an analytics approach where this is how people consume, how long they stay on pages, how they interact. If you don't have someone like SiteJab building that for you, building a back end that is very strong on the coding standpoint and the front end design that keeps people engaged and then give them a chance to convert those eyes into business leads right there on your site, you're going to lose out on money. So they're very reasonable from a pricing standpoint right up front. But then it's the money they make you in the future that is a really, really big deal. That's what you are missing out on if you don't go with a company like SiteJab. They're more than just a web design company. Go to their website to find out their entire suite of products, and you're going to be blown away by what they can do for you. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
.918 here on The Bench. Thank you very much to Brandon Caldwell who joined us. Thanks to Dell for showing up. Yeah, it's the least he could do.
Is it?
Yep, and we will have Huey Jennings in a second. That was something that I promised you before, but I forgot we're doing a culture map today. I think we're doing it a little earlier than usual. Is this the time we always do it? I never know because John runs everything. I'm just on autopilot. I'm on autopilot to an extent until I get to Indianapolis, which people, just to rehash this, so Brandon Caldwell we had in previously, worked here in Houston, got a job with ESPN. A lot of people may not have heard that you used to work for NFL Network.
Used to work with NFL Network. In fact, the guys that you worked with. I was at Game Day Morning, wrote for the signature show, flagship show for Charlie Uke.
When you say you wrote for it? What does that mean to people?
So I wrote opens, teases, all that kind of stuff, you know, special stuff. You know, so
how'd you get that?
I just worked and, you know, we talked to them and they liked it. I was moving to LA anyway.
So where were you working at the time in Houston before you went?
I was doing some freelance consulting, and I was at CNN, and talked to them, and I was already moving to LA anyway. I was kind of changing up my life, and sports guy, former played sports, and I know sports, mm-hmm. and so talked to them. They liked my stuff, and we wrote.
You got a sharp look now, right now. I haven't seen this jacket on. It's a good look.
Thanks, man.
You bring a little culture.
Is something
bringing culture
going on
to the show
a little bit later today?
Well, yeah, are you hosting an event?
So we got the rodeo cook-off tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tonight's the big year. You're going.
Yeah.
Big night. Tyler, are you going rodeo cook-off? I know it involves
remains
drinking.
Remains to be seen. I don't know.
Do they have actual food there, or is it just people getting drunk?
Yes.
Is that why you're not coming in tomorrow?
No. I'm flying to New Orleans tomorrow. Okay.
So you're not going to rodeo cook-off, or you are tomorrow?
Unless I go tonight. I don't know.
You're going.
I might.
Yeah, can I get into a tent? Can I go? I didn't even get an invite from
anybody.
John's
the hookup on tents.
Yeah, come with me. I'm coming tonight.
I may get it tented up. I may get tented up.
You know, speaking of rodeo and food.
Don't dab.
Yeah. No one's better in the city than Eric Sandler. He's called in, right, Tyler?
We got him on the line right now. So let's start with Eric. Eric, you are on the food side. What do we have going on right now? Do you want to cover the rodeo events, or are we going into the restaurant side? Because I know we just had James Beard Award nominations come out.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I do want to talk about the Beard Award. This is, they didn't give them out in 2020 because of the pandemic. They took 2021 off to kind of reassess what kinds of restaurants are eligible for James Beard Awards, because frankly, it's been over the years like too many white guys serving tasty menus. And that's not really good for Houston because we don't really do that. But so if you look at the nominees that came out yesterday, the semifinalists, it's an incredibly diverse group of people. You've got Christine Hahn, Tony Nguyen from Xin Chow, Kaiser Lishkari from Himalaya, you know, and on and on. I mean, I think there's 7 total local nominees for Best Chef Texas. And then we've got some national nominees, Ruben Ortega for Outstanding Pastry Chef, Hugo's for Outstanding Service, Pier 6 down in San Leon for Best New Restaurant in the whole country, and Chris Williams from Lucille, who's nominated for Outstanding Restaurateur. Again, that's a national award. That's like that's like roughly equivalent to, like, you know, Best Director or Best Actor.
So the pitmaster for Blood Brothers, Kui, what did he get nominated for?
So he got nominated for Best Chef Texas, and there's a few barbecue guys nominated. There's a restaurant in Austin called Distant Relatives. There's Burnt Bean Co. outside of San Antonio. There's Esau down at 2M, also in San Antonio. So, yeah, it's a barbecue-y, you know, again, like recognizing that barbecue as a craft is worthy of recognition, just like, you know, Aaron Bluedorn is nominated, you know, and that makes sense, too, because Bluedorn is one of the most outstanding restaurants in Houston. So it's an exciting time. It's an exciting crop of nominees.
Anybody that you think they missed on that you think deserved to be on? I saw March. Was it Restaurateur? I'm not sure what March.
No, Felipe got nominated for March for Best Chef Texas. I mean, they could have been nominated for Best Wine Program in the country. June Rodil is the master sommelier,
right,
who runs that program, and it's really incredible the depth that they've managed to assemble. I mean, the only one that I thought was a little bit strange was Anita Jaisinghani from Pondicherry. You know, she's been nominated several times in the past, and she's exactly the sort of person that this new initiative is designed to spotlight. And so for her not to be included was a little bit strange, but it's like it's a lot of first-time people.
Anybody that should have that wasn't?
Well, look, I mean, you know, our boy Ryan LaShane is someone who I think just does such an outstanding job at Riel, you know, bringing in such a diverse slate of influences, representing the city so well. You know, he's a local success. He hasn't really gotten the national traction, but, you know, I'll always stump for that guy.
Yeah, no, it's he and his sous chef is Peter's really, really talented as well. From a cultural side, from the city side, what are we doing this weekend? You've been coming up with some great, so Infinite Houston is extended all the way through April.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about it anymore. We mentioned a couple times, but I'm excited to get there hopefully this weekend with my family. What do you have going on for us this weekend? What are things that we can do?
Well, you know, everyone's heading to the World Championship Barbecue Contest. Is Eric still on the line?
Yeah.
Eric, talk about Best Bites.
Well, sure. Best Bites happened on Sunday. That's where all the restaurants compete to serve the most outstanding dish paired with a whole bunch of wine. It's not really relevant going forward because you can't get that food at the rodeo. I will be going to the Gold Buckle Awards, which rates the best fair food. That's next week, so we'll have some content related to that here in a few days. But yeah, Best Bites is a great place. That's boozy, you know, 4,000 people crammed into NRG having a good time.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff happening with rodeo this weekend, Lance. You know, the rodeo parade. The trail riders are coming into town.
So I got Bun on tomorrow. He's coming in studio. What should we hit him with?
Okay, well, it's funny you should mention that. Okay, we're talking rodeo with him. He told me last night, he hasn't told anybody this. We covered this on Culture Map. He just added 4 names to the H-Town Takeover on March 11th. He already had Slim Thug. He already had Paul Wall. He has some, you know, new names he's added to that. He's got some more stuff he wants to tease. He's probably going to tease it with you because he really likes you. And he told me last night that because the H-Town Takeover is such a big deal and pretty historic, you know, he's the first black male headliner from Houston to ever play the rodeo. It's a big deal. It's going to be an all-star lineup. So he's going to do a documentary about it. So that's going to be really cool. He's working with the rodeo. He's got the HD cameras.
He's a huge cinephile, by the way.
He's a huge cinephile.
Like a monster Criterion Collection type of. And I mention that every time because when you have Criterion Collection, you're on a different level. You are on a film geek. You're in a film geek level that's...
I remember him talking to you about Peaky Blinders. I mean, he's...
Well, the sound... Yeah, and also the soundtrack. He loves the soundtrack. We were talking about directors and Space Odyssey. Like, he's really deep into the movies.
So he's really deep into the movies. So, you know, he's...
So him doing a doc is going to be really cool.
It's going to be really huge. So talk to him about that tomorrow. That's a really big deal. So World Championship Barbecue.
And if I could just interrupt real quick, his Trill Burgers are going to be available at the rodeo.
Oh, okay, good.
You know, it's always been a pop-up, but this is the first time you'll be able to get it, you know, more than a few hours at a time.
Well, it would. Hopefully we can get it at about 8:30 in the morning with me and Dell and Tyler here. Well, Tyler's out tomorrow, but hopefully we'll get Trail Burgers tomorrow. What else this weekend?
So on Culture Map, we've got the roundup of everything going on this weekend with rodeo. So again, trail riders coming into town. We've got the rodeo parade coming in town, starting up. So people love to hit that. We've got the World Championship Barbecue Contest starting today. I'm going tonight in one of the tents. That's going to be really cool. Now, if you're not doing rodeo, starting today, Hamilton's in town. And what's really cool is if you're a Hamilton fan, if you're into the hip-hop musical, they're doing those $10 tickets. So you can sign up. You go to go to the official website. You can sign up for the lottery for $10.
If you've never seen Hamilton, you really should.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you, it's the best. I saw it on Broadway, and my wife saw it here locally. It is really, really a phenomenal show.
You don't have to like history. You don't have to like theater. It brings it all to life. It's whoever thought Alexander Hamilton would be so compelling, right?
But when I was in school, I never thought that.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, his mind was like, this feels like an East Coast, West Coast hip-hop beat between he and Aaron Burr.
Yeah.
I'm going to develop an entire musical around the life of Alexander Hamilton, because Hamilton did do some very, interesting things historically, some important things too. So anyway, good. Well, that's good. $10
tickets. Wow. So, if you don't want to spend, the bonkers tickets, go for that $10 lottery. Rodeo's in town. Go Texan Day. Eric Sandler, big fan of the Pit Room. They're doing Go Texan Day. They're going to have, you can take photos with a real chicken. There's activities for the whole family. Enjoy the barbecue, seasonal crawfish. They've got face painting. That's going to be really cool. This is kind of cool. We've covered this a lot in Culture Map. 50 Cent, always in town, right? You saw him literally hanging in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's coming into town to sign bottles of his cognac. So he's going to be at these two Specs locations, one on Westland, one on Buffalo Speedway. So if you want to go hang with 50 Cent, head to Specs. Friday, that should be,
it's pretty wild.
It's kind of wild, right? He's like, hey, you want a signed bottle? And then this is really cool. We love breweries at Culture Map. And so on Saturday, this is kind of cool. Urban South H Texas celebrating their second anniversary party. They're partnering with Spindletap Brewery, Baba Brewhouse, and Rudyard's. They've got eight collaborative beers to celebrate the occasion. Live DJ, music, food. Of course, beer. That's happening at noon on Saturday. So if you want to get out, weather's going to be a little, but, that should be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, listen, go to culturemap.com, culturemap.com. Check out all the events going on in Houston. Food, culture, finding things to do over the weekend. Of course, rodeo events are all going to be right there. Steven, Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, guys. When we come back, we've got the Huey Jennings segment. We will have that, and Dell and I are going to go play catch in the out in the foyer. I brought gloves and a baseball, and we're going to go have a catch. See, you don't say have a catch. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? You play catch. That's what real Texans say is you go play catch. You don't have a catch. And actually, Kevin Costner said he didn't want to say have a catch. They made him say
that. The script writer said, Dad, want to have a catch?
No, you need to say that this is more authentic. And Kevin Costner's like, no one says have a catch. Yeah. And he got overruled. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, this is your opportunity to make sure that you get the pickup truck of your dreams. Is it the 2022 Chevy Silverado? It's all tricked out. They got it. Is it going to be the GMC Sierra 1500? They've got it. Heavy duty, light duty, they've got either one of them. 0% financing for well-qualified buyers. And the great thing is, it's always an experience that is an enjoyable one when you start to car buying experience at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. And I cannot say that for anyone else. They are going to be the ones to take your vehicle, your trade-in vehicle, and give you the most money for it. They're going to go work with you on finding the right purchase or lease opportunity that makes sense for you. They go out of the way from a customer service standpoint before the sale, during the sale, and even after the sale with your standard, you need to get your tune-up stuff done and all that. They make sure that they get it done in the best way they possibly can, the quickest way, the most efficient, and it's never a difficult environment to deal with people. And a lot of car dealerships cannot say that. And that's why I speak for them. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. For more information on your car buying experience, go to LanceZCars.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A short segment here. We went a little long with Doug Glanville. Good stuff. Really good stuff by Doug Glanville. It's a really good article. So if you're into baseball, they've got another article, Lance, that names the top 100 players in baseball history, including Negro League. So, I think then, which is fair. That everybody should, not just major league players, but the best baseball players in history. One guy who is off the list that it does not please Tim Kirkchian one bit, did not make the top 100, is our own Jeff Bagwell.
Are you going to play a sound?
No, do you want to? Okay,
yeah, I prefer to do it.
Here's Tim Kirkchian talking about Jeff Bagwell not making it.
In the history of baseball, there are certain players who are able to transcend statistical anomalies, and one such player is Jeff Bagwell. After having a career that spanned a great deal of time in the city of Houston before then retirement, we found that Jeff Bagwell's 1994 season, one that Bill James himself considers to be one of the greatest seasons in the history of baseball, for a season like that and a career such as Jeff Bagwell's that resulted in a Hall of Fame appearance, for him not to make a list of the top 100 players, regardless of steroid era, is a travesty.
Thank you, Tim. Tim Kirkchian, he was on with the Wheelhouse yesterday, okay. Talking about this. So,
but also, I feel like Jeff Bagwell should be in the top 100. I mean, sorry, Craig Biggio.
Oh, well, I don't know if Craig Biggio is or not. He's not in the...
Who should be in the top 100, Bagwell or Biggio, if you had to have one? You're only allowed to have
Bagwell.
One. Ooh, I'm
here's the argument for Bagwell. Bagwell finished with an OPS of 948, which is in the top 20 all time. Higher than that of others, David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez. Bagwell is one of 13 players ever with an OPS that high, with at least 1,500 runs scored and 1,500 driven in. He was an excellent defensive first baseman and, hold it, a great base runner.
There it is.
He had two 30-30 seasons. To some, Bagwell is one of the five greatest first basemen in baseball history. If he is, then he should be in the top 100 players. So that's so funny. Okay, because I'm going to make this. Okay, so his
OPS.
You're
going to go to Lance Berkman.
I'm going
to
Lance Berkman again.
Yeah, I knew it.
I mean, it is unbelievable.
One of the great OPS travesties we've ever seen is Lance Berkman. His ability to hit from the left and right side in a park that was not always conducive to hitting from the right side when you had a swing such as his was one of the real statistical anomalies in baseball.
Well, okay, so...
Lance Berkman, before his transgender bathroom comments, was clearly on path to be on the Hall of Fame ballot for at least a couple of tries. But everyone called him Fat Elvis and made fun of him, and he really wasn't really that fat. He just had a fat face like Matt Stafford.
And thank you, Tim Kirkchian. He had a 943 OPS, which is higher than those other Ortiz and higher than A-Rod.
I'm not doing the Jeff Passan voice. Don't ask for it.
He only scored 1,146 runs, though, and had 1,230 four RBIs. He played 15 seasons in Major League Baseball. So maybe that's why 1,100 and 1,200, that's what's holding him back. Well, not a 1,500 guy.
Biggio could still be on this list because we've only got
51 through 100.
Yeah, 51 through 100. So,
oh, you think he could be in the top 50?
Yeah, they're releasing 50 through 26 on Wednesday and 25 through 1 on Thursday.
I don't feel like Biggio's going to be in the top 50.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But you never know.
Craig Biggio was a Gold Glove winner at second, a Gold Glove winner at catcher, and a Gold Glove winner in center field.
Thank you.
His defensive record speaks for itself. He's an amazing defensive player. He was an incredible base runner who never wanted to stretch a double into to a triple for fear of being thrown out because he was a smart base runner. And he was good at getting on base by any means necessary.
His career OPS is 796.
Do you think there's anyone right now who going, wait a minute, he wasn't a Gold Glover in center field? No, he was barely functional, actually.
He was, yeah.
He was like the guy, like when you're playing video games and you're going to put somebody in, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put Max Sharping in at quarterback on Madden. That's what it was like moving Craig Biggio to center field when that stupid Talis Hill was there. And they had to try to like, hey, listen, we'd like for you to go. Craig, we know you're a catcher first that we rolled into second base, and you've done a nice job there. We know you're a little bit limited from a range standpoint. We'd like to put you in one of the most expansive center fields and also throw just a random hill on top of it at deep center that you have to traverse. How does that sound? Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? Absolutely. I know I don't have a big arm and I don't have a lot of range, but I'd love to play center field and run up a hill to make plays. What could possibly go wrong?
So he
God, we had some dumb Astros managers.
Yeah, we did. So he five times he was a Silver Slugger winner, which is the best hitter at his position.
Who are we talking about now?
Bish finished fourth in MVP voting, fifth in MVP voting. He was an all-star 7 times. Biggio was a really good player, but his 796 OPS ain't going to get there. He scored a bunch of runs, led the league in doubles three times, stolen bases once, hit by pitches five times. Is he the all-time guy in hit by pitches? I know Ron Hunt was huge. I forget.
Got to be up there
I think
pretty
Biggio
high.
Is, yeah.
Beer Man Greg says Biggio was just a stat padder. See, I thought it was the opposite. I thought Bags had some stat padding where, you know, he'd go off on games that were 9-1 in the seventh inning and stuff like
Biggio
that.
Biggio is two on the hit-by-pitch all-time list.
Oh, Huey Jennings.
Yeah.
Also a Hall of Famer.
Biggio's 285.
Huey Jennings, 1897.
He needed two more. He needed three more to set the record, two more to tie.
Okay, Huey Jennings. I don't know who that is, but I'm going to guess he played in 1897 for the Red Stockings.
Yeah, I would think so.
And Huey Jennings also had less than
the Knickerbockers
half of the plate appearances that Biggio had. He had 56-48.
Pitchers hated Huey Jennings.
12,000
They just threw. I mean, Huey Jennings stood on the plate.
Huey Jennings was either the biggest a-hole or that guy was hanging right over the plate to the opposite side of the plate. Like, I'm telling you right now, Huey, if you don't back off the plate, you're going to catch a high and tight one. I'll make sure and buzz that fade right off the side of your head. Clip you right in your cauliflower ears. See how you like doing your combining then when you're out in the wheat farms sometime this fall. Say, Huey, it's time you back up off that plate.
Oh, you get one right in the noggin, see?
You're going to catch one right in the kisser. That's what's going to happen to you, Huey.
It's the bee's knees.
And say, folks, all the kids today are talking about old Huey Jennings, looking to become the league leader once again for the 10th year in a row in hit-by-pitches. Old Huey's got a very distinct batting style, choosing to crouch completely over with his face over home plates, daring pitchers to hit him right in the face.
For the Cincinnati Hilltoppers.
The Hilltoppers once again lead the league in on-base percentage from this particular position in the lineup. But old Huey frequently has to leave the ballpark to go have nurses take a look at fractured jaws. He's played with three or four fractures in his face on several occasions, but frequently has to leave the game before the ninth inning, choosing to have a defensive replacement and a ghost runner come in for him at first base.
And after the games, he sells Edsels at the local car dealership.
Say, kids, who wants to be Huey Jennings when you grow up? I don't want to become Huey. He always gets hit by pitches. Yeah, you can't have a sweet broad on your side if your face is always cracked up. Say, I want to be Huey. All the sweet broads will be coming to me, even if my face does get cracked up. It couldn't hurt. Look at me. That's right, Tommy. Don't be too hard on yourself. You've just got a big fat mug.
Because that's what they used to call faces, mugs.
Kissa.
Hey, Tommy. Old Huey. Huey took one right there, smack dab in the lips. His leather helmet just got knocked into the dirt again.
Oh,
well,
that
one looks like it was painful. Huey's on the ground and he's not moving. Well, but it's his third hit by pitch today, and he's really helping the Hilltoppers to finally get some runners on base here during the dead ball era. This is the only way you can get on base with Babe Ruth hitting all these home runs.
You can see the trail of blood from first to second.
Well, if you look closely, the trail of blood shows you the success that old Huey Jennings has had today at getting on base. There was the Trail of Tears, which is a disgraceful time in our era, but there's also a lesser-known trail. It's called the Trail of Blood.
Not to the Georgia...
It's the blood spilled.
Not to the Georgia Peach. It wasn't a terrible time. He loved the Trail of Tears.
Georgia Peach. You know, there's nothing finer than when Huey Jennings and old Ty Cobb are able to just mix it up a little bit there.
I understand.
Sometime behind the stands, those two will get into a bit of fisticuffs. Huey always comes out on the wrong side of that one, but he's used to it. He's an old pug with a flattened mug, that one.
All right. That's enough.
That's it.
When we come
tired
back.
Of that.
When we come back.
Tired of Huey Jennings stealing all of Craig Biggio's thunder.
Let's talk about the Texans coaches. Ah. Screw that. Nah.
You know who I'd like? A guy who's never coached before.
Yeah.
A gentleman by the name of Huey Jennings, I think, would be perfect for the Houston Texans.
He's got as much experience as Josh McCown.
Say, let's wait one. Who's got more experience coaching? It's equal. Who's been hit more by flying objects? Huey Jennings. That should be the difference. And he's good at prayer.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so that was the Huey Jennings. We had been having people. I wanted to play it in the 7 o'clock hour, but we ended up having Zion Johnson, who was very, very interesting interview. I thought it was one of the best that we've ever done. That was fine, but we haven't had many people who are going to be first round picks who also were high school golfers and who have masters in cybersecurity on at the same time. So kind of an interesting background from the guard from Boston College.
People aren't fans from, well, it's the same cast of characters about us taking almost, well, we didn't take 30 minutes off.
No.
But people are
upset. We
just
had a funny segment. We could talk. Let's get into some Texans talk.
Nice. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
We didn't talk any Texans today.
You know what?
You promised me Texans talk.
The Twitch has spoken and they wanted more Texans talk.
You promised me Texans talk.
Yeah. So let's talk about who the Texans are going to see, who they're going to give a franchise tag to.
Cool.
Let's see.
Reed? Justin Reed?
Franchise, yeah. I mean, if they're smart, you got to lock down Justin Reed. That guy's having a massive impact on the game.
Uh-huh.
You could franchise him. Maybe you could franchise... who else is going to be up? Any of these one-year guys? You could give Chris Conley a franchise, but I don't think that sounds smart.
Let me talk about something serious for a second. You know, people with your tweet that went viral that you had to mute because... people are all in your mentions.
Yeah, all I said, we had the guy from Spot Track on, a salary cap guy, who said, I don't know, it feels like, based on the Texans salary cap stuff, it feels like the trade of Deshaun Watson, Brandon Cooks, and Laremy Tunsil almost feels inevitable.
And people got excited.
I just took the quotes, I sent it out, and what I didn't realize is that every fan base out there wants one of those three guys.
Laremy Tunsil. Are we allowed, and people are like, man, how much would it take to Laremy Tunsil, and they refer back to what the Texans had to give up, and they know the Texans wouldn't get that back, but would it take a first-round pick? And people are like, hell, any first-round pick we trade, the player that we would draft in that position wouldn't be the caliber of Laremy Tunsil. Of course, you take in what he's going to cost, but can we talk about what you told me about the deal his whole line coach had to make? Is that public knowledge? Can we talk
about
it?
Yeah, I said it on the air.
Okay. So you told me that his former O-line coach was trying to get a deal, a job someplace else, told his potential boss that he had to make a deal with Laramie Tunsil to get him to practice.
The question was asked, what was the deal down there with you guys not being able to this, that, or the other? And he said, well, you know, we had a hard time with Laramie trying to get him to, you know.
Practice?
Yeah.
Is that what you want for your, like,
trying to move this guy? You don't need to put all of our dirty line. Laramie's been a great worker, high football character. Guy plays with pain. It's just the pain was
too great.
It was just too great last year to get back during that 4-win season.
Uh-huh.
Back to back, by the way. Shout out Texans, back to back 4-win seasons.
Consistency.
So, yeah, no, Laramie's a baller. Like, Laramie plays hard. And if the Texans have to move, it's only because for cap reasons. And I feel like a first and a second is reasonable. Ooh. Let's do some. Let's get something done, guys.
So if you are a
unless
team,
you want Joe Burrow to get killed, do you want to win a Super Bowl, Cincinnati?
Is Laramie Tunsil guaranteed?
Are you drafting in the top two or three? No. Do you want Bernard Raymond, an Austrian left tackle, or do you want a guy who came from the SEC?
Do you need Laramie Tunsil to throw paper airplanes down the sideline and hope Jamar Chase catches them? Is that what you need?
They land.
That's true.
Those paper airplanes.
I know, but
you need enough time to throw those paper airplanes.
No, you don't. Just throw them up there, and Joe Burrow's knee be damned.
You know what? What do you care about what we do at Laramie Tunsil? You got over on us already. The Miami got over on the Texans.
Because there's some
talk. We have two first-round picks. I don't say and a second, because that was for Kenny Stills.
Kenny Stills,
the fact
by
he
the
gave
way.
Up a second for Kenny Stills.
Awesome.
Is probably more dumb than the two first for Tunsil and then not having a deal done. But you already got over, so let us move him.
Miami people are like,
let
hey.
Us re-gift him.
Like Miami people are like, hey, 29th pick overall, let's send it for Laramie Tunsil. I'm like, do you know? Is that what Mike McDaniel would like in his new culture?
Yes,
Laramie Tunsil, a guy who doesn't like to practice.
Yes,
you want the 29th pick overall?
I think
Laramie
Chris
Tunsil?
Greer knows too much.
Yeah,
to let that happen.
Yeah, he actually was his GM at a time.
He knows too much. The guy who literally on draft day had a bong hit that his. It came from his mom's old boyfriend who basically grabbed it and stashed it and waited for that moment to blast him because he and Laramie got in a fist fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically he was waiting to blast Laramie on draft day with a video that he got from Laramie's phone of him doing a bong
hit. He had it in his drafts.
With a gas mask on.
He had
it in his drafts. He had it scheduled. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks to Dell. Dell will be in tomorrow. Bun B is going to come.
Is he bringing those burgers?
I'm going to text him and say, hey, don't be afraid to bring some Trill Burgers in. I don't know who's going to make them at that time, but don't be afraid to do it. Thanks to Tyler. He's out of here tomorrow. Intern-turned-employee Noah is going to be in to run the show for us. Coming up next is Vanessa and Gallant. Keep her right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 all day long.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.